Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Thursday that feels just like a Friday because we're all out of here. Tomorrow, you know, in deference to the fireworks blowing up on the Independence Day holiday. You know, we blow stuff up. That's what we do. We're Americans. So, anyways, Dom, I'm going to let you lead the grievances. You know, if you got a grievance, join us today. 844-967-2789. Is it a grievance or you got a new crush?
I'm not going to say it's a crush, but I think we have a person who's actually saying things that need to be said. So in this regard, I will take what I can get. Rep Liz Cheney, according to the Washington Post, rattled off a list Wednesday night of what she considers the biggest threats facing the country, ranging from government regulation to inflation. But one threat looms above all others, she warned, former President Donald Trump. Here's a quote from the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California, from Liz Cheney. At this moment, we're confronting a domestic threat that we have never faced before, and that is a former president who is attempting to unravel the foundations of our constitutional republic. Let's just like take a second and think about that for a minute. Again, this is Liz Cheney, right? Dick Cheney's daughter, right? Number three in the GOP back in the day before she started criticizing the MAGAs, right? And she's saying at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library that the domestic threats that we have right now that we've never faced before, the former president attempting to unravel the foundations of our constitutional republic. That's a really nice way of calling him a frickin' fascist. And that's what they are. Crew, do you got something to add to that?
Well, the Ronald Reagan Library.
Yeah.
Every time I check, Scott Walker acts like that's his joint. You know, like he's very protective of it. Like he's
the Ronald Reagan, isn't the ranch? He's the ranch guy.
He's
paid from the ranch.
Oh, my bad.
Big difference.
Oh, the ranch. Okay, yes, please continue.
All right. An outspoken Trump critic, Cheney, chided GOP members, she said, have made themselves willing hostages to this dangerous and irrational man. Now she said they face a choice. Republicans cannot be both loyal to Donald Trump and loyal to the Constitution. We have some sound of this. Fancy Brian.
Well, they cannot be, Dom, but they've made their choice. They chose Trump. They burned the Constitution. They wiped the Capitol feces with the Constitution.
Brian, let's do cut number 12, please.
Republicans cannot both be loyal to Donald Trump and loyal to the Constitution. At this moment.
Wow. The Reagan Republicans are clapping. Let's play number 13.
Sound like a golf clap to me. I didn't hear any woot-woots out there.
We must elect people who are more loyal to themselves or to power than they are to our Constitution.
That's more of a woot-woot.
All right. There's a woo-woo. As Post reports, and we just heard, the statement was met with applause. Cheney's remarks comes as January 6th Select Committee holds hearings to investigate the deadly assault on the Capitol and how Trump and his allies sought to overturn the election. Coup! This is called a coup! As vice chair of the committee, Cheney has taken a lead role. Once a rising star in the GOP, her criticism of Trump has come at a great political cost. She was ousted from her leadership role last year for challenging Trump's false claims that the election was stolen, and she was later disavowed by the Wyoming Republicans. Cheney also faces an uphill battle in her fight to keep her congressional seat up against a Trump-backed primary challenger. Cheney seeking to woo Democratic voters, the Washington Post has reported. At Wednesday's event, a speaker series titled A Time for Choosing, hosted by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, Cheney said threats to American democracy are growing and the country stands at the edge of an abyss. As the full picture is coming into view with the January 6th committee, it has become clear that the efforts of Donald Trump oversaw and engaged in were even more chilling and more threatening than we could have imagined, she said, highlighting recent testimony claiming Trump wanted to lead the armed mob to the Capitol last year. The bombshell testimony was delivered by Cassidy Hutchinson. We heard it right here on this fine radio station. A former aide to then White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows on Tuesday during a surprise committee hearing, Cheney praised Hutchinson, saying her bravery and her patriotism yesterday were awesome to behold. Trump has denied Hutchinson's claims. And I'll say one other thing before, Crudy, if you want to jump in here as well. I saw some of the social media conservatives being very judgmental and critical of Cheney hugging Cassidy Hutchinson after her testimony. And I think to myself, you know what, if there's anything these two conservative women, you know, they have a similar existence right now. They have both spoken out against the fascist mega in chief, right? They're probably both getting death threats, right? This is the commonality. And for Hutchinson to come forward. And again, this was done in, you know, this testimony in relative secrecy, right? Because of security concerns for her life, for the committee's life. That's what this president, that's what this fascist, that is what this danger to this country, this domestic threat, as Cheney, the Republican, the old GOP, calls the new megas. You are a domestic threat, according to your own former members.
Well, here's the great news. At least they don't have to worry about the add-on of misogyny from the GOP. We will get to your calls, 844-967. Didn't even get a
push. No, I'm sorry, man.
Pshaw
right,
to you on that. Wait. I got more.
All right.
Let's play a little bit more of the Liz Cheney sound. This in regards to Hutchinson's testimony. Fancy Brian, if you'd be so kind, drop cut 10.
Little girls all across this great nation are seeing what it really means to love this country and what it really means to be a patriot.
And what would Trump say?
I'll be dating them in 10 years.
One more from Liz Cheney. Cut 11, please.
Her superiors, men many years older, a number of them are hiding behind executive privilege, anonymity, and intimidation.
Well, Pat Cipollone not going to be able to hide now that there is a subpoena issued for the former White House counsel. And that's the other big news of the day, Dom.
Yeah.
They're done playing nice guy with Pat Cipollone. So we'll see if that moves the needle, if they compelled the testimony in a timely fashion, or, you know, if he follows the lead of so many others and, you know, hides behind executive privilege and fights it out in the court and then drops a book. Often confessing crimes, which is very strange to me.
But well, you gotta make the book juicy, otherwise it won't sell and you won't get paid.
You know, I would still probably vet the book. You know, like even if I was just the spouse of Peter Navarro, I'd say, hey, honey, I know you've been working very hard in the basement all these hours. You can't hand in your confession book.
Let me just wrap this up here.
Are you going to wrap it up?
I'll just wrap it up. There's only a little bit left. From the Washington Post concluding, since the start of the hearings this month, Cheney has stressed that the GOP faces a crossroad, telling fellow Republicans that some in their party are defending the indefensible and that there will come a day when Donald Trump is gone, but your dishonor will remain. I love that quote.
The taint, yes.
She repeated that theme on Wednesday, quote, no party and no people and no nation can defend and perpetuate a constitutional republic if they accept a leader who's gone to war with the rule of law, with the democratic process, or with the peaceful transition of power with the Constitution itself. So I make no mistakes about who Liz Cheney is, but on this regard, on this day, she is spot on.
Would Liz Cheney throw M80s into a storm sewer and blow off the manholes? Would she?
I think she would. Yeah, come on. I mean, she's Montana, you use full sticks of dynamite there. I'm not sure they actually have any sewers there, though.
Do they drop them into the neighbor's septic? Right. Because that's going to make a mess.
That's going to be bad news, no doubt.
844-967-2789. Can't do it around the old man, though. You know, bad ticker. He might shoot you in the face. Andy from Beaver Dam, welcome back. How you doing, Andy?
Hey, Andy.
Well, Trudy, it sounds like the Devil Radio is really on the climb, man. It's your new host coming on, and your alliance with 950 in Minneapolis, and things are looking up for the Devils, I would say. And,
I hope things are looking up.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if it's not the light at the end of the tunnel, what is it, the train? I'm hoping we can meet the electoral train with our little efforts here on the political talk dial and, whoop a little truth into righty-whitey talk radio, or at least those that would also dip in and listen to us occasionally.
Right. Put a dent in the overwhelming right-wing network that we have in Wisconsin.
I'll share with you for the first time publicly, Andy, we did take a small step forward. We actually had closing on the Shaw today. So we've been in escrow, We've been, in this perpetual escrow, and it always feels like forever. My few experiences with, being a media mogul, buying a couple of stations. But today we signed on the dotted line and, got the keys. So now it's ours. Now we're not on the rental plan. And maybe, Andy, if you put a quarter under your pillow and hope to the beer fairy, I'll bring you a spotted cow in the third quarter, or maybe a couple.
All right. That's a promise. And also, you must have the guy out selling some ads, too, which helps.
Well, let's hope so.
Or maybe you don't.
We're blowing out the whole staff come the new year. Come back with us, Andy. We'll be here.
All right.
If I need to pass the hat, I'm looking at you, though, Andy. You know what I'm saying? We're doing okay. 844-967-2789. Things getting better. We got Kristen Bride joining us on Tuesday on the airwaves. In one of my favorite cities, originating from Waukesha. The Shaw, as the locals call it. As do we. More Devil's Advocates, more important to me, is the show we're on right now.
There's a special place in hell
for Republicans who should know better.
The Devil's Advocates, never personal. Only politics.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We are in grievances today. If you have some grievances, you can come talk to me. Dial the phone, 844-967-2789. Forget about it.
Dom, once upon a time, I like that, man. You're a good godfather. You're Sicilian coming through. You know my Trump voice, a bit of a stretch, but that's pretty good. Find David A. Clark Jr. that's your sweet spot, those two.
Yeah.
Dom, I made a confession on your behalf once upon a time. We had a fine former U.S. attorney. He does his own show around here, Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel. And I confessed on your behalf, you weren't going to read the indictments. And Michael Cohen made a confession today on behalf of his former boss. He does not read the transcripts. Now, I found the annotated coverage over at Raw Story, one of my favorite sources. Michael Cohen disputes mafia-style threats to protect Trump to the January 6th committee. Liz Cheney revealed on Tuesday that there have been people in the former Donald Trump's orbit sending messages or leaving voicemails that could be considered witness tampering. Gonna need to keep your mouth shut, right? Something like that.
They actually sleeps with the fishes.
Sent out a couple of examples via Twitter. The January 6th committee, you know, and it's hashtag blue check mark. That means it's official, Dom. We commonly ask witnesses connected to Trump whether they've been contacted by anyone attempting to impact testimony. Below are examples of answers we have received to this question. They leave at least two anonymous ones. What they said to me is, as long as I continue to be a team player, they know that I'm on the team, I'm doing the right thing, and I'm protecting who I need to protect. You know, I'll continue to stay in the good grace in Trump world. And they've reminded me a couple of times that Trump does read transcripts. And just to keep that in mind as I proceeded through my depositions and interviews with the committee. Dom, here's one more. A person let me know that you have your deposition tomorrow. He wants me to let you know that he's thinking about you. Oh, that's nice. Thinking about you. Thinking about you. He knows your
biblical sense. Like, what?
He knows you're loyal and you're going to do the right thing when you go in for your deposition. So those are a couple of the examples cited by the January 6th committee. Perhaps witness tampering, a skosh. Anyways, according to former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen, Trump doesn't read the transcripts. Oh, that's a shocking revelation, Michael.
Wow.
Doesn't he have someone that probably reads the transcripts and then breaks it down for him, sort of raw story style?
And who's going to read 2,900 pages?
Exactly. Cliff Not notes Trump. Called.
So anyways, according to Michael Cohen, Trump doesn't read the transcripts. Speaking to CNN, Cohen explained Trump typically has someone else read the transcripts and put together bullet points for him. Another fact check CNN asked was the alleged ketchup throwing story. Former top White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson, we've talked about her a lot this week, said that she heard noise from the presidential dining room and went to check it out. That's where she found a White House valet who said that the president was angry. Maybe he was hangry, Tom. He was cleaning up broken plates and wiping ketchup off the wall. Cohen explained he's never known Trump to throw a burger and ketchup against the wall, but the ex-president has thrown other things. So, you know, never a burger. I've not seen him take a burger and ketchup and throw it against the wall. I have seen him get incredibly, incredibly angry. I've seen him throw things, newspapers, a magazine, some paper, but I've never seen him throw ketchup. Is it possible? Sure. But one of the problems that, look, everybody who saw the January 6th hearings will say the same thing. This was great. Great fly-on-the-wall presentation. I mean, it's like going to see Top Gun Maverick. You walked out and you felt good that finally something was going to happen. This was the impetus for Merrick Garland to do something for the DOJ. The problem with the testimony is that it's all hearsay. I disagree, sir. I've got better sources than you. I mean, what were you up until now? Trump's lawyer. How good could you be? I mean, you've got colleagues like Rudy Giuliani, and he's disbarred.
Anyways, lawyer, really more of a fixer than a lawyer.
Well, hearsay, according to Cohen, as it relates to Donald Trump. So that part might be true. Not a lot of direct contact. That's why, you go subpoena Cipollone, right?
Right.
Cohen explained that Trump will say that there's no proof to what Hutchinson said because there's no document to prove it. He recalled that Trump was trained by Roy Cohen. Roy Cohen, right? The fixer to, what's his face? Joe McCarthy from Wisconsin. Out of Gamey County zone. Trump was trained by Roy Cohen, who explained why he was never, why he'd never put anything in writing so that there would never be any proof. Where Trump has run into trouble with the attempt to overthrow the election, however, is that everyone around him was putting things in writing. Justice Department officials were taking notes, and there were other staffers exchanging emails about requests from the president. As for the violence in the SUV, Cohen isn't certain about that either. I've never seen or heard Donald Trump has been a physical altercation. I'm not talking as an adult, even as a kid. So the fact you could rest assured that while this was going on, if he really wanted to go to the Capitol, he would be this irate. There is no doubt about that. Does this mean he would lunge at the Secret Service agent? He'd go to grab the steering wheel? I'm not sure. A little bit more. Again, that's not going to be the nail in the coffin that we're all looking for in order to see Donald Trump perp walk with his hands behind his back and his cotton candy flopping in the wind. Damn it! I want to see his cotton candy flopping in the wind. I want to see the prosecutor make him an offer he can't refuse. Dom, take the plea or never get out of prison. And oh, yeah.
Leave the gun. Take the cannolis.
Or Devil's Advocates. James Santel, we worked him in as well. You're welcome, Jeb. Or Devils on the other side.
I can handle things. I'm smart.
Reading is good.
I'm smart, and I want respect.
Almost everybody that passed it has never read it. And who's going to read 2,900 pages?
Leave the gun. Take the cannolis.
It's not personal, Sonny. It's strictly business.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, you remember when we came on the air way back, February 1st, 2017, first time we ever, you know, kind of controlled the reins of a radio station. We played this song.
It was early.
A long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. It was fun, man.
It was fun.
Good days. How little did we know?
Ignorance is bliss, man.
Now I know just enough to know how little I used to know, and man, I knew nothing.
And now, you still got a lot to learn?
Oh, absolutely. Every day of my life. I learned something day, man. You know, I'm not a Republican. I tease my Republican friends that still enjoy learning and being open-minded, but, you know, there's so few of you to offend that would fall under that category.
Well, I mean, there's Republicans and then there's MAGAs, and I think we need to start making those distinctions. You can actually, no matter what you think about policy, you know, perhaps try to do some work with Republicans, but MAGAs, fascists, you do not negotiate with terrorists.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say you're a 1930s Nazi, and I know whenever you start talking about Nazis, you lose, right? But this Hitler guy starts taking over your socialist movement, and suddenly it becomes something different. It becomes something nefarious. At what point do you disavow your membership in the party? You know what I mean? I'm not talking about prison guards trying to escape prosecution. I'm talking about, you know, people that just saw how fascistic it got and just said, you know what, I'm fleeing the country. I'm taking my kids. I'm doing whatever I can do because I'm no longer part of that. I guess my only point is, if you are one of those open-minded, thoughtful Republicans, do you still call yourself a Republican?
Well, see, that's what I'm saying, man. And I would suggest that perhaps Republicans should fight for the Republican Party, take it back from the MAGAs. And I think of that in the sense of, you know, as people
and
friends.
Clean it with the match. Burn it down
Perhaps. But I would say this, as it pertains to this country. You know, that's it. I'm moving to Canada, or I'm moving to Mexico, or I'm moving to Europe, or I'm moving, whatever the case is. And I totally get the sentiment. You know, it's a nice thought sometimes. But damn it, I was born in this country. I'm a citizen of this country. There are more of us than there are of them. And the system's already set up for incremental change, right? That's why we have it set up the way it is. And now, with the way the Supreme Court's acting and the way that the MAGAs are acting, it's not just slower change, it's regression. So I don't want to go somewhere else. I like it here. And I don't want to be pushed out by a bunch of fascists, a bunch of Proud Boys, a bunch of white Christian nationalists that all of a sudden have a problem with birth control. I mean, are you freaking kidding me? This is where we're at. This is, and I'm not going to walk away because they're loud. I'm loud. We're loud. Not only are we loud, there are more of us than them. So let's forget about all that kind of talk. You want to get angry? You want to get organized? Absolutely do that. But just don't acquiesce to the mindset that because people like Jenny Thomas And Mark Meadows and Donald Trump are trying to work one over on us. There are more of us than them. And if there's anything to enlighten you on this 4th of July, the birth of our nation, I'm not leaving. They should be prosecuted. They should be the ones that are leaving. This is ridiculous.
Okay, Becky. So you're declaring your own little Independence Day. Here's the problem. You know, you can't really be your own little independent citizen. I know the Bundys have tried sovereign citizen sort of thing, but let me point out a couple of things.
Well, I just want to make sure that you are not conflating what I am saying. I am saying, as citizens, engage in the system. If the non-voters show up and vote at the same percentage as the voters, they will not have a chance. The Supreme Court, we can expand. The filibuster, we can get rid of. Hell, if we get enough voters out there, we may not even need to worry about it. I'm not talking about doing a sovereign citizen. I'm talking about engaging with the plan that's already here, with the framework that is already here, with the structure that is already here.
Let's talk about our state. I'm wearing my bright red Badger cap. I live in Wisconsin. Love it here. You know who doesn't love it here? A lot of the kids. Not under the policies of Scott Walker. Kids like my daughter moved out to L.A. People like Kristen Bry moved out to L.A. I'm not saying it's the only destination, but a lot of kids move to L.A., move to sunnier spots, better spots, bluer spots. And if you are at a point in your life where you've got the mobility, you know, life affords you opportunities, hopefully in your 20s. Got a few bucks in your pocket and a lot of courage, go to L.A. Go west, young lady. Well, I can tell you this. How are you going to keep them on the farm? Because, unfortunately, it's not a numerical. Joe Biden got, what, 7 million more votes than Donald Trump. And obviously, it ain't about that. It's about the Electoral College vote. It's about the state-by-state tally. And the problem is, when you create this federalist dream utopia where the red states get to be as harsh as they want to be, right? Well, what happens to the red states? The blue people that maybe have a few more educational choices or financial choices, well, they get the hell out. They move. You staying in Arkansas? You staying in Mississippi? Well, the question becomes, are you staying in Wisconsin? Maybe not as a 52-year-old old white dude that's lived here all my life. I love it here. Like the party. But my daughter, why in the hell would she stick around in a abortion prohibitive society? Man, I'm ready to leave because I can't get legal weed in this state. I mean, what if your whole body's autonomy was under attack? And I want to see kids like Kelsey fight. Young people, I love to see them. I love to see them come back. I love that they love the same state I love. But, you know, it's hard to keep them on the farm and voting blue when you crap on them so bad, and they do have bluer options on the coast somewhere else. And you know what? It plays right into the Republicans' hands.
So you're blaming the kids?
No. I can't blame the kids. Why would I blame the kids?
Well, if the kids stuck around and voted like they do, you know.
Where are they supposed to be stuck on the farm?
From a strategic political perspective. But come on, man. You've never been on a farm. Don't act like you know what's going on the farm. You
worked on the farm? I got the hell off the farm.
Come on, man. All right. I used to work on the farm.
It might have been a hobby farm, but I'm telling you.
Farmers. I've greased the tractors, man. I've baled the hay. I've milked the cows. I've been knee deep in the muck. I understand what the farm life is about.
I notice you don't do that for a living.
You're damn right, man. I said I would never want to work that hard again in my life. But that's only part of it, right? That's only part of it. A lot of kids on a family farm, you don't have an option, man. You must work on the farm. There's really no negotiation.
But there's also a connection to the land and to the legacy of what it is.
Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that? Because I don't, you know, that's that nostalgia thing talking, Crudy. I mean, the farmers I know did not have that connection. They couldn't wait to get out of the farm.
It depends what the commodity prices are doing. How are pork bellies these days? I would think they're up like everything else. 844-967-2789. We'll have to ask Fancy Brian. He's more of a pork belly guy. Dick from Madison. Welcome. How you doing, Dick?
Hey, Dick.
Good. Happy 4th early. You know, a buddy and I were talking last night about this right track, wrong track, and he says, boy, this is scary. You know, even though the numbers are moving with a generic Democratic candidate, and we're seeing some good things in Georgia with you know, the guy that played without a helmet too long. But he's like, oh, my God, Nick, 75% of Democrats think we're going the wrong direction. I go, that's a good thing. And here's why. It's another motivator. I see that as a motivation to go out and vote. I don't see that as doom and gloom. I see that as, oh, my God, this country is going hell-bent for election in the wrong direction, and we're going to go out and do something about it.
Well, you're right. We do have a numerical electoral majority, and it took the presidency of Donald Trump to activate 81 million that voted for Joe Biden, 75 million for Trump. He still got the most votes of any Republican ever. My thought is, Dick, it's pretty damn bad still. If Roe v. Wade gets overturned, I mean, these kids, they hopefully are learning. It's not a one and done. You got to do it every cycle because the battle, the battle we fight every day.
It never ends. No. Dick, we will be here. No, it was here before we got here. It'll be here after we're gone. There's no end to it. There is no break, man. I used to think that way. Oh, God, thank God the election's over. Go back to not worrying about any of that stuff anymore. No. It never ends. That's the whole point. Civic engagement requires a constant engagement, man.
Especially when you have these times where, I mean, come on, 35 to 40% of the electorate is controlling us right now. You know, the Supreme Court, what's their approval rating? 25% at best? I don't even look at it as a body that is relevant anymore. I just don't.
Well, unfortunately, they're relevant. They may be biased, but they're certainly relevant. Look what they're handing down right now. Roe v. Wade, EPA, and apparently they're going to take up some cases next cycle, Dick, regarding state legislatures' influence and control over federal elections.
And then just go to the state levels in blue states and go, okay, take us to court. You know, the Supreme Court is whatever. I just, you know, you got to admit, it's pretty much a joke right now.
So
it sure seems that way.
Dick, appreciate your call, man. Hope you have a wonderful 4th of July weekend. What else?
That's it? What else? That's it? Listen, putting it on.
How about
on
your
the
daughter? Let me ask you from the perspective of your young person, the person closest to you, and young Adler as well. You keeping them on the farm? You keeping them in Wisconsin? And when they're done with school, are they tethered to Wisconsin? Or will they explore opportunities in states where they have control of their own bodies?
I'm not clear. A couple of things. I would think that number one, my daughter for her first semester of her senior year is going over to the Czech Republic to study abroad. I hope she comes back. You know, she's already been at a couple of protests. One, when the Roe v. Wade, when it was, dropped that this was coming down, there were protests in Milwaukee and we've been to other protests in Chicago. So as a young woman, she's very much dialed in. Of course, I'm her dad, so I talk about these things quite often. And her mom and her grandmother, everyone's, and her uncles are very, very dialed in to this thing. Now, is she going to stay here? I don't know about that. You know, I mean, I didn't stay here. I went out and, traveled around a bit as well. So I'm not clear. I guess the question is
do you want
the political circumstance of this state be a driving factor for her or my son to leave? I'm saying possibly. It was not for me when I decided to go to grad school in Michigan, but it's still Midwest. It's not coast. It's not New York. It's not L.A. It's not Houston. I think it's more important to them now than it was for me then. But at the same time, I also think it was, my lackadaisical approach to all these kinds of things that somewhat, maybe got us here in the first place. I'm not the only one. Lots of people.
It's mostly you, Dom.
Only you can prevent forest fires. I can't handle that kind of pressure. I recognize that. And the important part, I think it is to make it relevant for them. Now, my kids, they get it. It's relevant. They understand that. A lot of people don't. A lot of adults don't. A lot of children don't. So our job, not just you and I on the show and these stations and, you know, progressive media in general, but our job as individuals is to resonate, to find the commonality with everybody else, the olders and the youngers, those who are not engaging, give them a reason, give them an excuse, give them permission to engage.
Smokey says only you can prevent forest fires. I got to tell you, Dom, I honestly mean this. You're the only guy I've ever seen through the course of 10 years of political conversations daily that has become less cynical about the outcome. I mean, you started very, very cynical, and it is a small degree of change, but you've become slightly less cynical.
Oh,
I commend
thanks,
you, sir. More devils. I'll commend you if you call us 844-967-2789.
To see a young person be that proud to catch something that big and to show it off, that's what makes us want to keep coming back.
Run away!
And taking names since the Wisconsin uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, are you getting inundated with the political ads down there?
Don't really watch a lot of television, Crudy, so...
What about the radio, man? You can't even escape it. I'm hearing it on rock and roll radio.
Yeah, I don't really listen to a lot of radio either.
Good thing you've chosen this, you know, secondary vocation in media.
But I will say this. I do see lots of local ads on the web pages of my different news websites that I go to.
Yes, you know... Big fundraising deadline tonight.
No one's
mentioned it to you. They're all trying to.
Oh, I am on a couple of texts as well. Yes, I'm aware. Apparently, it's dire out there for everybody. It's like God, he needs money.
Well, Olakara, he is trying to make a statistical threshold, 5,000 donors. I think he requires, and I've been getting peppered by the Olakara campaign. I don't know how they got me. But they got me, you know what I mean? It's like, whoa, whoa. Here comes another text from Stephen Olakara asking for one little dollar.
$1.
The price of one pack of firecrackers in 1982. Not inflation adjusted, you understand.
So what he needs, what, 5,000 donors to be eligible for the debate? Is that the deal?
The debate coming up about 2 weeks from now in July.
Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't make it on the stage and you are a U.S. senatorial candidate, you ain't a real candidate. You know what I mean? If you're not on the stage, you don't count. The voters aren't going to vote for you. I apologize to, you know, there are actually some pretty damn good candidates that, you know, are going to fall in fifth, sixth, seventh place. Better than a lot of the Republicans currently in leadership on the legislative side here in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, no doubt.
What I mean? Because you met some of those people, and you're just like, man. Scott Walker once enumerated, the former Republican gubernator of the state of Wisconsin, enumerated all the jobs he didn't feel like he was qualified for.
It was a long list.
It was a fairly comprehensive list. I didn't know if that was the best way to showcase whatever he perceived his limited skill set to be.
You wouldn't hire me to be a neurosurgeon. You wouldn't hire me to run condos. You wouldn't hire me to run HP. You probably wouldn't hire me to run the United States Senate.
I probably wouldn't want to hire you to say a speech.
Or run the Reagan Ranch.
Well, the ranch, I mean, there's a lot of crap on the ranch, so that seems very appropriate, shoveling, you know, the ranch crap.
Well, anyways, I've lost my point other than the fact Scott Walker is a wanker and way too Reagan-esque. Wannabe. You know, some people want to be something. And there are things you can aspire to be. You could try to be like the Devil's Advocates. That'd make you super cool.
You could only try.
But to want to be Ronald Reagan and want it so badly. And, you know, he knows how little he brought to governance. It was purely ambition. That's all he had. You know, all Scott Walker's got going for him is ambition. But earlier, way back, a couple hours ago, I was talking about, you know, Wisconsin, As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Pry. And she's going to launch her new show on July 5th. Excited about that on the Shaw, noon to 2. But, you know, Scott Walker foreshadowed, and I know it's sort of a blurry analogy here, but he foreshadowed Trump in this way in the state of Wisconsin. The Wankinator used right-wing talk radio. And I don't think a lot of people realized, even during the primary process, earlier during the 2016 elections, Donald Trump called into right-wing talk radio constantly. And if you're a local host, you got a presidential-level candidate, I mean, you take that call. Now, Trump did hang up on your girl, Vicky McKenna, once upon a time.
yes,
and to think how she has evolved, right?
Right, yes.
Because Vicky McKenna is fully Trump abrasive. Hell, big lie. I mean, I'm sure she's got the T-shirt, right? And the anti-vaxxer, oh, I'm sure she's got a mask she's never worn that says, you know, arrest Fauci or something very appropriate. But Trump used right-wing talk radio. Scott Walker used the platform that is right-wing talk radio. So, you know, the fact that we are solidifying our foothold here in lefty talk radio, super cool talk radio, and we're bringing more allies on board. I feel very good about that. You know, yes. Now, do I have 81 outlets, El Guapo? Do I have a plethora of radio stations? No, not yet, but, you know, maybe more than we used to.
It is
you say I have a plethora?
A plethora. I would say there's a lot of upside there, Crudy. Certainly having more platforms to have these discussions and relay our points of view and our whimsical and fun and entertaining way that we do, I think that provides value. I mean, short of showing up at the bar and sitting at the end and you know having some drinks and shooting some dice or some darts or some pool and talking some politics, I mean, this is where you do it. This is how you do it. That's how they used to do it. And that's how, you know, radio is becoming. As we talk about, you know, the up north and outstate and areas that have very limited ability to, you know, you can great have a smartphone, good luck getting a signal. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of upside to doing so. And, you know, perhaps we should go on tour a little bit, Crudy, because I think people will engage. And I think the exposure is important. It was important to me. If you are in your lane and in your bubble,
you
in
mean
your
media
line of
exposure,
thought, and,
not your typical streaking sort of exposure.
No,
right?
of course.
Just clarity's sake.
Yes, exposure to new ideas, different perspectives, different people, different cultures, different everything, right? And take them all for what they are, and hopefully you can find people you trust that will help and discuss things that and give you room. And as we should give other people room to explore their thoughts and their feelings and how they relate to things. So if all you hear is white Christian nationalism all day long, every day, if they've groomed you to that degree and that's all you know, and you go to church every Sunday and you slide over to that bar right after church to watch the Packer game at noon, right? And you go back on the farm and because they got to get milk twice a day at four, you know, you are in a spot where your information is limited and your exposure is certainly limited. If you don't know a trans person, if you don't know a black person, if you don't know anybody that are in these situations, or perhaps make it real easy, if you don't know a woman who got pregnant, who she didn't do that by herself and had to consider an abortion, maybe that exposure would, you know, help you in your analysis of what we as a society should do to help our fellow human beings.
Yeah, but I can't afford your par tab all across the state of Wisconsin.
Oh, it's not too bad, man.
Well, we'll have to take steps. I just got back from lacrosse, but I'll go back on the road, man. I'm always down for a road trip, a party. We welcome aboard a new party girl. She is Kristen Bry. Tune in, please, for As Goes Wisconsin starting on Tuesday, July 5th, noon to 2. And a little bit later this evening, our pal Joel Clayfish doing his hunting, fishing, stabbing, eating, cooking. He cooks it somewhere in there, right? Joel Clayfish, Raised in the Shaw on Thursday nights. Don't forget, live programming right up to the 4th. And then, you know, we're all taking the weekend off. See you on Tuesday, right, Dom? Or Wednesday, as the case may be.
Have a great 4th, everybody.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Would you say I have a plethora?
The devil!